Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministries.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Truly, we give honor and thanks to the Lord for being on the broadcast today. I am just so thankful to the Lord for all that he is doing. His mercy endures forever. This is the day the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. God is good, and he is great, and he is greatly to be praised. So we thank God for all of the things that he is doing in our lives. He's such an amazing God. He is such an amazing God. So we are thankful to be on the broadcast today. We are still talking about commitment. I almost didn't come on the broadcast because, look at, I'm feeling now. You see how I'm feeling. So but anyway, because I was so tired because I've been up all night. I don't know what this all night being up is about. But anyway, we are here and we are going on in Jesus' name. That's what we're going to do. So I'm so thankful. Anyway, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you. I praise you. I glorify you. And I magnify your holy name because he is great and greatly to be praised. God is an amazing God. He is an awesome God. So I'm so thankful just for that. So anyway, let me pray. I'm getting ready to pray and start doing something else, clicking on all these things. I'm trying to get back to the broadcast. So I say somebody comes in, I can bring them in. I seem like I've got a lot going on here at the last minute. Oh, my God, really? Okay. All this extra, but anyway, let's move on. I'm just trying to get the broadcast back up. All right. I'm trying to get the broadcast back up. So anyway, let's get started. Praise the Lord, and hope. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you today. We thank you for your mercy and for your grace. We thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you, God, that you are God. I thank you, Lord Jesus, because you are a merciful God. You are a loving God. You are a kind God. Lord, you are our God. I thank you. Lord, we thank you that you're sovereign, you're omnipotent, you're omnipresent, you're omniscient. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are shepherd and we shall not want. We thank you, Lord, that you are light and our salvation. Whom shall we fear? That you are the strength of our life. Of whom shall we be afraid? Lord, we so thank you that Lord, when our mother and father forsook us, Lord, you took us up. Lord, we so thankful, oh God. Hallelujah. We glorify. Lord, we thank you for mercy, God. We thank you for mercy. We thank you for keeping us. We thank you for protection, God. We thank you that you are our protector. We thank you that you are our provider, God. Oh, Lord, we glorify you and we magnify your holy name, for you are the wonderful, awesome God. And we thank you, Lord, that we are just part of your family. We thank you, Lord, that we are part of the bride of Christ. We thank you, Lord, that we are your children. We thank you, God. We thank you, Lord, that you haven't left us out here by ourselves, oh God. But you are our refuge and our strength. You are our very present help in the time of trouble. Lord, you are our dwelling place. God, we thank you. Oh, God, we thank you for all the things that you're doing in our lives. Excuse me. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the opportunity to just start to do some self-reflection and to repent. Hallelujah. And to turn from our wicked ways and to humble ourselves before you, Lord, that we can hear from heaven. Hallelujah. You will hear from heaven and you will forgive our sins and heal our land. Lord, we're asking for our land to be healed today, God. In the name of Jesus, God, we're asking you, Lord, for healing, oh God. Lord, show us as individuals what we must do, Lord, that this land can be healed, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, bless the church, Lord, to come before you in humility, oh God. Lord, we rebuke arrogance. We rebuke the pride of life, and we rebuke, hallelujah, the lust of the flesh, God. And, Lord, we ask you, Lord, gee, we rebuke idolatry, oh God, which is infidelity. God, we ask you, Lord, just to touch us, Lord, and let us be real with you. Let our heart break for what's breaking your heart, God. Let us be concerned what you want us to do. Let us ask you, Lord Jesus, what is it can I do for you today that we can be found doing the will of God? Oh, Lord, we ask you just to touch us, oh God. Bless our minds to be stayed on thee, oh God. Lord, those that have a heart of stone, Lord, turn those hearts to flesh, God. Lord, let souls be saved, set free, and delivered, God. Lord, we thank you for healing those that need healing, oh God. Lord, you said healing is the children's bread. And Lord, just like you did with the woman of the issue, with the woman of the issue, blood, when she touched the hem of your garment, she was made whole. So God, we ask you, Lord, to touch, let people touch you in praise and touch you in worship, oh God. Lord, and that they will be made whole, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, some don't know what to pray, oh God, but Lord, we ask, we send your word in their rooms, oh God. Heal, Lord, as only you can. God, we're asking you, Lord, to bless every nurse, every doctor, every health professional, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, they've been on the front line this whole time, God. But, Lord, we thank you for being a keeper for them, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Bless every essential employee, oh, God, and then every first responder, oh, God. We thank you, Lord, they're our military, Lord. We thank you for them all, God, in the name of Jesus. We plead the blood over their lives, God, hallelujah. Keep them as only you can. Strengthen them as only you can. God, they are there, and they're putting their lives at risk, and then they go home. Thank you for keeping their families, God. Thank you for keeping them, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, we ask you, Lord, to bless everybody with wisdom, because, Lord, you said if we any man lack wisdom, that you will give it to him and upbraid if not. So, Lord, we thank you for wisdom today. Lord, we thank you. Oh, God, bless those that are bereaved today, oh, God. Those that are grieving, God, in the name of Jesus. Some are not just not grieving the loss of a loved one, but, Lord, they're grieving the loss of a job. They're grieving the loss of a home. They're grieving the loss of things, God. We're asking you to comfort as only you can in the name of Jesus. Lord, turn situations around on behalf of your people, Lord. Lord, send finances to those that need it, oh, God, hallelujah. Bless God in the name of Jesus. Lord, you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. So many are grieving in their spirit, oh God. They're trying to keep going on. But, Lord, we know that you're a comfort for them, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, send peace, God, in the name of Jesus. Peace in this land, God. Bless the Black Lives Matter movement. Oh, God, bless everyone that's out there on the front line with that movement. God, we ask you to cover them with your blood, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we need things to change in this nation, oh God. We need things to change, oh God. We need restoration, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we need revival in the name of Jesus. Lord, revive our hearts, oh God. Lord, revive our souls, oh God. Revive us, Lord, that we will turn and follow thee, and another voice we will not follow. Oh God, you are our shepherd, and we shall not want. Let us hear your voice clearly, oh God. Give us clarity, oh God, in the name of Jesus, in the direction that we should go, in the direction we should take. Oh God, I plead the blood of Jesus over everyone under the sound of my voice. Lord, only you know what they stand in need of, God. You know every need, hallelujah. You know every desire, oh God, and you know every want. God, we ask you, Lord, to bless their families, Lord. Let souls be saved, family members be saved, people be delivered, oh God. Let them turn and live, God, in the name of Jesus. Turn every stony heart to flesh, God. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord. Lord, don't let nobody give up hope, but let our hope be in thee, oh, God. Let our trust be in thee, oh, God. Oh, God, we thank you right now, hallelujah, because you are God, and I believe you, Lord. Lord, you said when we pray, we believe we will receive, that we shall have what we say. So, God, we thank you. Hallelujah, Lord. You said in your word, hallelujah, that whatsoever we do shall prosper. So we thank you for prosperity today. Lord, we thank you. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I thank you for protection, God, in the name of Jesus. Letting your angels encamp around about us. Lord, letting the Psalms 91 be over our lives, God. Oh, we thank you today, God. Oh, we glorify you. Bless this word to fall on good ground. Lord, that they that hear it might run and not only be hearers of your word, but doers of your word also. Bless them to be willing and obedient, to have faith and work with it. Lord, we thank you for witty ideas and inventions. We thank you, Lord Jesus, hallelujah, for creative ability, oh God. Lord, that we are able, Lord Jesus, you've given us things to do, God. You're showing us ways, Lord, to keep going and keep on doing. We won't give up, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, we thank you, Lord. We praise your name. Bless every pastor today that preached the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. We ask you to pour back into them what they poured out to us. Every evangelist, every apostle, every prophet, every teacher, every pastor. Hallelujah. Bless God as only you can. Lord, we thank you, Lord. We glorify you. Bless that nursing home in Texas. Lord, where 21 patients, Lord Jesus, that have passed away. And the Lord, the employees have been contracted the virus. Heal God in the name of Jesus. Turn around in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, bless the homeless, God. Those that are hungry, Lord. Oh, feed them, God. Shelter them, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise your name, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise the Lord, Brian. Praise the Lord, Phyllis. We thank you, Lord. We glorify you. Praise the Lord, all those that are on the line. We thank God for each and every one of you. I think it's Elder Dodson and Elder Timberlake. Thank God for you all. We bless your holy name and we praise your holy name. We are asking God for miracles, hallelujah, signs and wonders. So we still talking about commitment. Praise the Lord, Judy Hopkins Moore. Praise the Lord. We thank God for those that are joining in. Hallelujah. Those that are logging in, calling in, and those that will listen to the broadcast later. We so thankful. Hallelujah. You know, we still talking about commitment. We are still on commitment. So today we're going to be talking about commitment, but we're talking about, we're over in Corinthians, talking about this Corinthian church. And so I want to try to bring it up to play, because, you know, we've been, you know, I was praying in this early this morning, so I've been up since midnight, of course. I don't know what all that's about, but anyway, the Lord knows. So anyway, so I was up early this morning, and so I told the Lord, I said, Lord, Jesus, what is it? I said, what do you want me to talk about today? Praise the Lord, Sister Anderson. I said, what do you want us to talk about today? And so the Lord began to talk to me about, you know, he talked to me about Corinthians and those things that were happening in the Corinthian church. And so, because, you know, they was over there cutting up, like they've been doing, you know what I'm saying, over there just cutting up. So anyway, first the Lord told me to read this passage of Scripture, so I'm going to read this. Of course, this is 2 Corinthians 14, and it says on this wise, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal the land. And I know sometimes when we're in the midst of this pandemic, we don't want to hear all that fire and brimstone, but evidently God is trying to say something to us, and so we got to understand that, you know, stuff was, you know, We know things are going on. Can't praise the Lord, Douglas Cook. We got to understand that we were doing, you know, the church was doing the most. They really were. And so we were coming into the church, you know, and you know, were we really fully committed to Christ? Had we really committed our worship to him? Or was we just going through the motions of it all? And so we got to think, this has been, I know people are like sick of being in and not being able to get out and do what they want to do and all those kind of things. But this was a beautiful time for self-reflection. This was a beautiful time. We used to sing, and Judy used to sing this song, Search Me, Lord. We used to sing that song, Search Me, Lord. And so it was time for us to search ourselves, search our hearts, and search our souls, and allow God to search us. And we used to say, define anything that shouldn't be. Take it out and strengthen us, God. So this was a time for self-reflection. And what we should have been doing while we're being in, we should have been praying and really seeking God's face on what it is we're supposed to do. We need revival in the land. We need the land to be revived. It's a lot going on. If you listen to the news, you're just thinking, some of them just lying to be talking. Just lying. We thinking, oh, my God, really? Are you going to sit there and tell us a lie like we're too silly to know that that's not the truth? And so when the officials are just saying anything and everything, we got a problem in the land. Because I never will forget about Jonah. Jonah, you know, he didn't really want to go to Nineveh, so he went to Tarshish first, and that's how he got in the belly of that whale. And then when he finally got out of there, he went to to Nineveh to tell the people, because he was supposed to go to tell the people what God was getting ready to do. But when Nineveh heard the news about what God was getting ready to do to them, they turned from their wicked ways. They turned, they went to fasting, they went to praying, the king and everybody. They went down in sackcloth and ashes, and they began to pray and turn so that and hoping that God would go a different way. And so we got to think about what are we doing. And once again, here the Corinthian church is full of idolatry. And when you think about idolatry, you are really in walking in a place of infidelity. You are really we're walking in a place where we are not being true to God. God is truly committed to us. Christ was committed to us enough to go on the cross and die for our sins. Like Bishop was talking about this morning in his message. He was saying the cat of nine tails how they beat him until his flesh was exposed and all of this stuff was going on. And so, but he kept committed. He didn't die on the whipping post because he knew if he had died on the whipping post, that would not have redeemed us. But he kept on going till he got on the cross. And he still hung on that cross. They had nailed him to that cross. And he had hung on that cross until he died. And he felt like God had forsaken him. But actually, that was his flesh crying out because his spirit man knew that he was on where he was on his way to. And so we got to think about, you know, what are we still doing that God is not pleased with? Have we made money an idol? Have we made cars an idol? Have we made houses an idol? Have we made, and you know, the Corinthian church was doing a whole bunch. That's why, you know, that it was Chloe that reported them. You know, she reported them. And so Paul had to come. And then when he got there, you know, over in 2 Corinthians, they offended Paul. They began to challenge his apostolic authority and all those kind of things. The Paul said he ain't coming back. But anyway, he still sent them a letter. And so he began to minister to them about church affairs. Has the church even been, you know, back when we was coming up, if you did something wrong, you got to sit down. You had to get somewhere and sit down. You didn't get to still be up doing a leading worship and doing all this stuff, and you was doing too much. You didn't get to do that. You had to go sit down. They would check you in the old church. Have the church really been checking the people? We got lawsuits going on in the church. That ain't supposed to be happening. And you ain't supposed to sue the church. That's not what you're supposed to be doing. But you're greedy and after money. That's what you're after. So if you slip and fall at the church, you go to get a lawsuit and all that foolishness. That wasn't even supposed to be happening. This is what Paul's talking about in the Corinthian church. And so he was talking about all that, and he was talking, and of course he talked about the sexual sin. And you know what, I hear people say this. I remember me and another friend of mine was talking, and she was talking about one of the brothers she know, and she said he told her, he said, well, you know, sex is going to be his sin of choice. Now, that's what he said. And so we got to understand, and you know what, this is the thing, you know, and this is, people don't like to talk about it stuff, but sometimes we got to talk about it, but let me read my Judges, let me go to here, Judges real quick, because I'm painting a picture. And so in Judges, the second chapter, and we've been here before, we talked about this in commitment, it said after the leaders had died, I'm talking about this judge, you know, because Judges, when they got ready to go over to the promised land finally, after the old folks, had, you know, that generation had died out, so it's just Joshua and Caleb, they had to recommit. Moses got up in Deuteronomy, and he reiterated all those things into their ear and asked them if they would recommit themselves to Christ, and they said yes, but they did it as long as the elders were alive. As soon as the elders died off, then they began to go back on whoring, infidelity, after these other gods because they failed to really clear the land out when they were supposed to, you know, possess the whole land. They, you know, they allowed people to come in. You know, I think it was in Gadites, I think it was. You know, they came in looking like they was beggars and poor. And so they allowed all these people in. And because they did that, then they began to have these pools to go and worship the idols that they were doing. Well, here they were in the Corinthian church. And they were worshiping Aphrodite and all of those kind of things. And, you know, that's a temple of sexual sin, you know, and all of those kind of things. And so even today, people are dealing with these same things. And you may read Joshua, but I'm not going to read. And so when we are dealing with these same things. And so in the Corinthian church, they were having all kind of problems in the church. That women was cutting up because the women were gossiping, but they were only gossiping what the men that came home and told them to talk about, was talking about. And so they began to do that. So then they wanted to sit the women down and all that kind of stuff. And then they begin, Paul began to address all of the stuff that was going on in the church. They dealt with it within the church. They didn't go outside the church and deal with it. They dealt with it in the church. And so has the church become soft because we don't want to deal with it or we don't want to offend nobody? You know, everybody's offended right now. Everything is an offense. You know, if you say this about this group, there's an offense. If you say this about this group, it's an offense. And so all of these things people are offended about. We're only talking about the Word of God. It's in the book. We can't talk about nothing that ain't in this Word. If it's in the Word, then what you have to do, I told a young lady one time, she asked me a question. And she asked me about, she said her parents said she was going to hell because of what she was doing. And she said, well, am I going to hell? I said, I don't know where you're going because I ain't got no heaven to put you in. I said, my assignment is to preach the gospel and to teach this gospel. I said, that's my assignment. If your lifestyle does not align with what the Word says, then you need to work on that. And that's the truth. It is our assignment to get the Word out. It's your assignment to see if you fall in line with the Word of God. Does anybody have anything they want to say on the phone before going further? Anybody? Okay, well, I'm going to go on. Because if we don't, if that's our assignment. Our assignment is not to make you say we can't do that. Only Christ can do that. And so when they were over in the Corinthian church, and, you know, I'm serious, it's rough out here. And if you're single, it's really rough. There's a whole lot of things going on. But you know what get on my nerves about the marriage? Now, you know, I love the marriage things. I got a lot of married friends. I really do. But now sometimes, you know, we have experienced here, sometimes we have experienced all these little negative comments that come out about singles. And, you know, sometimes get on my nerves because it's not all the singles. All singles ain't having sexual problems. They not sitting up screwing. They not. All singles and I do. We got other things to do besides that. We got other things that are going on. We the only breadwinner in the house, matter of fact. We got to worry about how much money we bringing in. We got that to deal with. So we taking that to God in prayer. Or we got other things that we're dealing with. And like when I go to the hospital, one thing I say to them, because, you know, you can't go over these places judgmental. You can't go over there. We can't do that. Because I remember one time I was over there preaching, and one of the men, he was looking at me like, that was the look on his face, just like I'm making right now. Because what he was saying was, what have you been addicted to? Because the hospital we go to is addictive behaviors and stuff like that. And so he was saying, well, what have you been addicted to? And so, you know, I had to get myself together and think about all that right quick because you got to be able to sometimes be transparent. And so I was sitting there and I was talking and we were talking. And so he said, well, what have you been addicted to? And that's kind of how he said it, just like that. And I thought my mind had to go real quick because I said, well, I ain't been on alcohol, Lord. I ain't been on drugs. I said, what in the world is it being? I said, food. And so I began to tell him a journey about that situation. And I began to tell him, because it's all addictive behavior, whether we want to think it is or not, it's all addictive behavior. And so if you sit up and you can eat a whole pack of Chip Ahoy cookies in one sitting, that's addictive behavior. Okay, and so all of these things and you're doing stuff, you know, it's true. We just got to own up to it. And so he asked me that, so I began to talk about that, and I told him, I said, I've lost quite a bit of weight. I said, but it's still a struggle. I said, when I go to the store, I tell myself I'm not going to buy this, and this. That's what I tell myself. I talk to myself before I get in there, right? And so I tell myself, we're not going to buy this. This is not what we're going to do. But then you find yourself in the aisle where that same stuff you said you wasn't going to buy. And I had him laughing because I said, but now if you go up to that counter and you see some of that, you go up to a counter, you're going to check out the grocery store and you see them cookies and stuff sitting over there and they shouldn't be over there. I might done been through there. That's what I told him. I said, I maybe done been through there. And I don't even eat sugar anymore. I said, because that's another thing. Sometimes we want God to heal us. We want him to heal us, but we are not willing to give up things. Just like with the Corinthians, they were like, well, Christ had died for our sins. Christ had already, he is free, so we're free from sin. Yeah, he did die for our sins, and he caused us to be free from sin, but he didn't tell us we're not free to sin. That's the difference. We're not free to sin. He said, shall sin remain that grace and grace shall abound? He said, God forbid. That's not what grace is abounding, but it ain't for us to be freely to go sin. That's not what it's for. And so there's always a struggle because I'm telling you, if you're a single woman nowadays, it's a whole lot going on. They say all kinds of stuff to you. I know I got some witnesses out there, but anyway, we're going to talk about that on single talk. But anyway, they say all kinds of stuff to you. They say, well, the Lord knows you got needs, you know. And if you are not strong in your, and before you know it, you be starting to think about it. You can't entertain all them thoughts. You got to begin to cast it down in your mind and in your heart, and you got to have your heart right. When it comes to serving God, God wants us to have a committed heart, and we got to commit our heart to him. So this time that we're going through right now should have been a reflection on how can I recommit myself to the Lord. Because the Bible, Paul said it best, he said, I die daily. So what he was saying was, he said, you know, I got sins that I got to get rid of daily. He said, I'm still working on things. And we're going to be working on things. Like I tell them at the hospital, everybody got stuff. Everybody got stuff. Maybe y'all's is alcohol. And, you know, some people have had so many things. Like the one little girl told us one time, she said, well, I was raped from the time I was 6 until I was, I think she said, 13 or 14 or something like that. She said, how can I forgive that person? So people got a lot of inward things that are going on that are causing them to be in certain places. But sometimes when they come into the church is judgmental because they're looking at them crazy and strange like that. I believe that's why we have so many more coming to Christ during this season than we have even in the church, because they can come to Christ without the judgment. I just thought about that the other day, and I think that's the reason. And so they get to come to Christ. They don't have nobody looking at them crazy. They don't have nobody judging them, but they're coming to Christ. And so because we have got to stop having these judgments about people, and we were once a mess our own selves. We ain't done everything. We ain't dotted every I, crossed every T, because if we had, we would be like Enoch. God, our testimony would be able to say like Enoch was. He walked with the Lord, so the Lord took him. If you see or still here, that means you still got stuff going on that you need to get before the Lord about. I say stuff all the time. I say sometimes we just got to get before the Lord and begin to ask God stuff. I ask the Lord now, you know, I was being here at home. I tell you, I feel like I've been doing a lot of snacking. And so I told the Lord, I asked the Lord, what do I need to give up so that I can be in good health? Because I don't have no children. And so I'm thinking, I said, well, who's going to take care of me? I said, I got to be able to take care of myself, Lord. Everything got to keep working. And so I said, what do I need to give up? Because sometimes we need to give up some things so that we can be in the right place. I wanted good health. At one point in my life, I wanted good health. At one point in my life, I was on insulin. I was on diabetes medicine. I was taking 2 blood pressure pills. Let's see, I was taking pill to stop my period because I was, you know, a heavy bleeder. Let's see, I was taking, it was so much medicine. I probably paid about $200-some out a month just in medicine. And I told myself, I said, Lord, I just don't want to keep taking this mess because I couldn't stand it. And one time I was taking a pill, I think it was called Actos at the time, the older diabetes medicine. And I remember I used to get so tired because I lived on the second floor at the time, and I used to get so tired going up some steps, I felt like it was just something going wrong. And so the Lord told me, I was in there sleeping, I was up with prayer, and the Lord told me, said, don't take that Actos medicine no more. And then, of course, lo and behold, you know what came on next. If you are taking Actos, this, you know, all that came on. And I remember going to the doctor, and I told her, I said, no, I'm not taking that medicine no more. And so, she assigned me something else. And so then I ended up having weight loss surgery, and they told us, you know, if you eat sugar, it's going to make you sick and make you have to regurgitate, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I told myself, I don't want to do that. And so I told myself I wasn't going to eat the sugar no more. And so I stopped eating sugar. At that point in time, I stopped drinking pop, and I stopped eating sugar. And, you know, and believe me, and we used to eat, I got a friend, man, we used to always go to McDonald's, get us a Big Mac large fry, and a large fry and an orange pop. That's what we would get. And so I've lived without that for years. And I'm not saying I got some weight I still need to lose. And so, but I have changed some things. I still got some things I need to change. But the one thing I was able to do was get off that diabetes medicine. And I don't tell you, I got off a lot of medicine. I probably take 5 milligrams of a blood pressure pill, something like that. But anyway, that's about it. And so, and it's low. But I thank God for that because I had to make my mind up. And I remember when I was still on the diabetes medicine. I used to take about 70 milligrams of insulin, and then I took about 2 other pills or something like that. And I remember going into the doctor, and she told me, she said, because I was really losing weight. And so she said, stop taking the diabetes pill, I mean the insulin. And I told her, I said, well, I would rather take the insulin than the pill because the pills got to me side effects. Because the pills would say on there, you know, you might gain weight or you might, you know. And so I stopped taking the pills. And so I kept taking the insulin, and then every time I went in there, it would go down, 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 down. So then I think I was on like 10 units of it or something like that, and she told me to stop taking it. I haven't taken anything since then, and that's been years ago. But I made my mind up I was going to give up that sugar. A lot of times we want healing, but we're not willing to do what it takes to keep the healing. God can heal us, but we got to do our part. And so that's what it takes for us to do our part, is we got to tell ourselves, no, I can't do this no more. And so the same thing with the Corinthian church. They were doing all these things, but at some point we got to tell ourselves, no, I'm not going to have no idols. I'm not going to do this no more. I'm not going to keep going over here doing the wrong thing. Even when it comes to sex, you got to tell yourself, you got to tell yourself, women got to tell themselves, and men too, they got to tell themselves, first of all, I'm not nobody's second. Second of all, I am not nobody's concubine. If you feel like you are wife material, then you don't have no business allowing somebody to take advantage of you in that way and getting your mind telling you, we got to do this. You don't need to do all that. You can say to yourself that I'm better than that, and you are. You really are better than that. And men, you don't have to be giving in to women just to try to prove your sexuality. You don't have to do that. No, if they don't believe in you, well, let them stroll on. I used to tell people, because I grew up overweight. And so I know this is kind of getting off topic, but anyway, I'm still talking about making commitments. Because commitment, anything we do is a commitment. Whether it is exercise, we're going to say we're going to exercise, we got to commit to it. Whether it is drinking water, enough water for the day, we got to commit to it. Whether it is praying, whenever you decide your prayer time is, you got to be committed to it. Whether it is studying and meditating on the word, you got to stay committed to it. All of it brings, commitment is all of it. So what God is saying to us, we got to commit to stuff. We always want him to do it, but we don't want to commit. We got to commit. I got to get my exercise back on going. So I got to commit to it. You got to say, no, this is what I got to do. And it's all of this to it. We got to commit to diving into the word of God, diving into prayer, diving into fasting, diving into these things that will cause us to be better with God. It's just that simple. And we got to repent for the stuff we know we're not doing right. It is what it is. It's that time. We got to let it go. You got to let it go. If you want results, you got to let it go. If you want a better life, then you got to let go of the food. It is what it is. That's what Paul was trying to tell them. Yeah, you can't do this because you think you're free to sin. You're not free to sin. Christ made you free from sin, but not free to sin. That's the thing you got to understand. And sin is not going to make it in heaven. God ain't changing his mind. The things that God has told us not to do, he means don't do them. And the reason why they were talking about the sexual sin so much is because it was causing people to go all off. And the thing about it is, you know, one thing that gets on my nerves really bad is when the married saints, and I love the married saints, don't get me wrong, I ain't talking about, but when they come up with these little cliches about close your legs, open your Bible, all that foolishness, and then the ones talking about y'all need to stop doing this, that's y'all little nasty mind. We ain't thinking about all that. We got other stuff to do. We got creative things going through our mind. It's all the kind of stuff. And so that vexes the single people because it makes us feel like that we are not good enough or something. When the Lord says a single person, we're closer to God than the married. That's what it says, because the married people are dealing with the union of marriage. And God loves marriage. And y'all dealing with the union. But we get to deal one-on-one with God. We ain't got to go through nobody. We going straight to King. Straight to King. To God. So, singles, be glad about your singleness. Be happy about it. I'm telling you, when I was young, I was overweight. That's what I was going to remember that. I was overweight but I was really overweight back then. And people always would make fun of me. I was always being made fun of. I told my brother the other day I thought I needed to be to live at the zoo. I was called so many animal names. I said, but all of that stuff was pressing on you. Those kind of things are the things that have hurt people so much over the years that they haven't been able to get over things, and so they're still dealing with these types of things down on the inside of their spirit. If you wonder why people react to things, it's because they're still dealing with things that are deep down in their spirit that they have not allowed God to get in and infiltrate and to heal. People need healing. When people are taking their life, they need healing. All these things are going on when people are giving up, throwing in the towel, losing hope. It's some healing that needs to take place on the inside. And you got to get there. We cannot keep allowing people to put us in these places that cause us to open those wounds back up. I can't let you open the wounds back up for me. When guys tell me, I had a guy tell me one time, he said, "Your hips is too big." I said, "Look here, my hips was big." That's when I was doing a little online date. I said, "My hips is big on that picture. That wasn't new hips, them was the same hip. And if you don't like the way them hips look, then you need to do like the Heath Miser was on the Christmas show. Put one foot in front of the other, soon you're going to be walking out there walking off. You don't have to be, you stop by here. I didn't stop by your page." You see what I'm saying? And I remember having somebody tell me, say, "You are mean." I said, "I ain't heard I was mean in all my 40-some years of living." I said, "So that's some new news right there. And so I'm not going to receive that into my spirit." People will try to demean who you are, make you feel like you're not important. I don't know why I'm going this way, but anyway, because I don't know if this is about commitment or not. But anyway, people try to make you. But what I'm trying to get to is that people need healing. And so whatever that healing is, begin to seek God for that healing. That's what I'm trying to say. Begin to go to God for whatever that is that you know you need healing from. Because he's the only one that can do it. He's the only one that can touch that deep place where these things are coming up from, where these things are still causing you conflict in your life. Those are the things. God told me, I said, "Lord, something going on with this snacking going on over here. I got to quit it." And so anyway, I know these things, and so I begin to ask God to help me. It's okay. It's okay that you got some flaws. But just ask God to deal with you. Just ask God to help you. And don't let people, because a lot of times when people are talking about you and trying to make you feel bad, because they ain't there themselves. It really has nothing to do with you. Bullying has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with the person that's doing the bullying, because they don't like themselves. But they try to make it like it's you, like something's wrong with you. No, something wrong with them. I used to tell the kids that, no, if somebody's trying to bully you, they ain't got nothing to do with you. They got everything to do with them. They got a problem. You don't have a problem. Same thing. I don't know why I'm talking about. Anybody else got anything on the line of sex? I'm just going on and on. Ain't I right in my mouth?
God bless you. God bless you. It's all good. It's all about commitment. You know what helps us, marriage as well as singles, is what helps us to be committed to the Lord, is if we can find someone to be accountable to. You know, it helps us stay on track. Not someone that's going to agree with you, but someone that's going to disagree with you. Amen. Or
Amen.
Tell you the truth.
Yes. Because if you don't, and that's why I love my friends. You know, I got some straight shooting friends. They shoot from the hip. They don't play. And I love every bit of them because they're going to tell you when you're off. They're going to tell you when you're wrong. They're going to tell you, and I love them kind of people because they don't sugarcoat nothing. They tell you when it's off. And so those are the kind of people you want in your circle, because you want people that can be a blessing to you. They can tell you when, you know, and that's what Paul was trying to do in the church. He went to them. He said, "Oh, my God, Chloe reported it." And so Paul went down there to try to get it straight now. And so the church, we still need to do the same thing. And so I'm trying to get back to the commitment. Anybody else got anything to say? Or Tim Blake, you got anything you want to add?
I'm just going to be in agreement with what you've been saying, and I just want to say that initially when we are struggling with things, we can be committed to God, but there's levels of commitment we need to realize, and then we need to grow in that level. We need to, you know, when you're a baby Christian or a baby believer, but there's somewhere it needs to grow, and you build a better connection, a closer connection, rather, with God to help you to overcome some of these things that you're talking about that we struggle with. And the good thing is, as you were saying, telling your own testimony, is that you realize it. And that's what we have to start doing, is telling the truth to ourselves. So we can talk to ourselves and tell ourselves the truth so we can admit, because God can't help us while we are in denial. We've got to come clean and admit, this is my shortcoming. I'm trying, but I'm weak in this area, and I need your help. If we come to God with that kind of attitude, being humble, He is already there with stretched out arms, willing and ready to help us to overcome any weakness in our lives. It takes commitment to yourself and to God to say, enough is enough. I've been struggling with this. It is time for me to get on a better path. It's time for me to go in a different, a better direction or a different direction than I've been going. Regardless if we're struggling with sexual sins or addictions and all kind of hurt feelings, people mistreated us when we were young, people abused us, people molested us. All of these things might have happened. They did happen, but they do not define us. And so we need to get around people that can help us to realize that, that that's not who God says you are. He still says that you are precious in his sight. He still says you are a jewel, and he still loves you because you are his beloved, regardless of what has happened in your past. And we have to stop letting the enemy trick us by constantly bringing up our past and what we did then. But this is a new beginning. It's a new time. It's a new season. And God accepts you from the point when you ask him to forgive you and ask for help. He has forgiven you. And from then on, you got a new beginning. That starts your new life. And that's where you need to. We need to start working from and stop allowing the enemy to take us backwards, because we want to stay committed to what God has done. And we need to tell ourselves, wait a minute, he started a good work in me. He promised me this, and then I'm going to stay on that path, because if I stay on the path that God has for me, I'm going to get what he says we need. So we all need to go back to Romans 12:2 so our minds can be renewed. We need our minds renewed on a consistent daily basis. You don't get it renewed one time and you got it. No. The enemy doesn't stop because you got your mind renewed one time and you made up your mind to serve God and you committed this day. No, commitment is consistent. It is daily. It is a walk. You have to do it at all times and be committed to it, because whatever you commit to, God will commit with you. So it's a partnership with God, and I just want to just be in agreement with what you've been saying.
Amen, because it is. It's a commitment. It's a daily walk. And if we're going to do what God has told us to do, and if we're going to reap the riches that God, I mean, and this ain't about riches. This is about, when I say rich, I mean the spiritual richness of all God has for us. We have got to turn it around and commit. We cannot live any kind of way. We can't do it. And we got to begin to check those things in our lives that are causing us to be out of fellowship with him. He is God. He ain't a toy. He ain't something we can pick up today and put down tomorrow. He's God. We got to be consistent with him. We got to be consistent and know that he is our savior, he's our deliverer, and he is sovereign. He sees everything we do. It ain't oblivious to him. It ain't new news to him. He knows what's happening. But we have got to say, I'm going to be committed, and I'm going to give up this thing. And then sometimes it ain't the easiest thing to give up. But you got to make up your mind about it. You just got to say, you know what? You know, I like going, and when I go to church, I just tell myself, I like going to church with my mind clear. That's what I told myself. I just like going with my mind clear. I ain't got to be thinking of nothing I did the night before and all that kind of foolishness. Not that I ain't messed it up, but the thing about it is that I made a choice to find. I said, I had a young man used to call me all the time, and I asked the Lord, I said, is this for salvation purposes for him? Because I said, I done told him, I don't know how many times I can keep telling him the same thing. I mean, I got to keep saying this. And so, but you got to make your mind up that, you know, and this is the thing, and this is one thing I want to say to fathers. The one thing you have got to put in your daughter's spirit is how beautiful they are. Now, that's one thing my father told me when I was a little girl. He said, you a beautiful girl. And so when they know they're beautiful, then the little boys came when they, because, you know, men look for your response on things. And so, you know, you say, they come to, oh, you just so beautiful. And then if you go there, you know, they got a thought in their mind about that response. But if they come to you and say, oh, you just so beautiful, you say, oh, thanks. And you keep it moving. Then they know that that's a challenge. They know they can't. That ain't nothing they can easily win. And so we have to understand the things that we have to begin to put in our children. We have to understand the things that, you know, we just got to help with. And stop being so judgmental and hard on one another. Everybody got stuff. Whatever your Elder. Stuff is, you only want to know.
Elder.
Uh-huh.
I just wanted to say, because I forgot to say this, when you said something before, and I want to just remind us all that God has already set the standard, and we need to stop trying to lower the standard, and we need to come up. He's not coming down. We need to come up. So, and he knows we're human. He knows we got flaws. So he's just waiting for us to admit them, quit them, and come to him so he can help us to stay on the right path, because that's what he wants to do. That's why he sent Jesus. That's why he sent the Holy Ghost, to help us and comfort us and teach us things we don't know and give us the power to overcome the flesh and overcome our weaknesses. He have given us what we needed. We've got to be open and admit that we're ready to accept it. We've got to do what Paul said. We've got to deny this flesh daily. We got to work on denying flesh, because flesh wants what it wants when it wants it. And if we don't deny it daily, he'll have a heyday. And the enemy will be making a joke out of us and making us look like contrary to what we really believe. Because many of us are truly, we love God, but we're struggling in some weak areas, but we're not spending the quality time with God and in his word that we need to help us to be equipped with what we need. And also, we're not staying around the right kind of people and having the right kind of conversation that will keep us on a path of righteousness and in the path of where we can grow and get strength and overcome our weaknesses. So we need to make sure we're focusing. We got to be real careful, especially during this season in the corona, while we're at home. You know, everybody, people coming out of work, woodworks, you haven't heard from a while because everybody want to talk to somebody. They want to hit you on Facebook. They want to hit that you're lonely. You're doing all kind of things, and you might be talking to some exes and things that you had to let go. We got to, when the enemy start bringing these urges and these things tingling your ears sounding good, you got to be careful about that to make sure that you get back to your knees, get back to the core. The core is your prayer, time with God. Your core is your quality time of worship and reading his word and meditating and spending quality time with God. That is your core. So when the enemy brings all of these little temptations and distractions, or distractions, as I like to call them, your way, that you'll be able to overcome, because the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against it. It helps you overcome, and every time you overcome one hurdle, it makes you stronger to overcome the next. And then your eyes are more open because you have more wisdom to help you when the enemy come up with another trick. Because
exactly.
He's creative. He's just going to use something different, but it's the same old, same old. So we got to be wise in those areas. And as we get wise and go in that direction and have our commitment closer to God, we'll be able to see a difference in our walk with God, and we'll be surprised by our own selves. And we have to give all the credit to God, because we can't do this in our own strength. That's the first thing. We can't do it in our own strength. We can have the will, but our will by itself is not enough. We need God's help. Amen.
It says we have to walk. What Galatians, I was over here, said, I say, and this is Galatians 5. It says, this I say, then walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. And so you got to have the Spirit to help you to do it. I'm telling you, somebody asked me something, I said, I'm staying with God. That was my response. They fell out laughing. I didn't care, but I said, that you got to get a response from something. You just tell them, I'm staying with God. That's what I tell them, I'm staying with God. And so I give them responses right there, because, you know, people be doing too much. But anyway, you got to do those kind of things so that you got to have a response ready for when the temptations come or when things come. And even like, you know, when I told my, you know, when I go to that grocery store, I told myself yesterday I was at the grocery store. I said, what in the world am I in here buying? Ain't nobody over there but me. And I said, how am I buying so much stuff? I said, that's nuts. So I said, Lord, help me. And then I give it away. I said, well, let me pack this up. You know, I'll pack up some food in a minute, take it across town to somebody. I can get out of my refrigerator, my freezer. So anyway, I said, Lord, help me, because I said, this is craziness. But anyway, I just think that, you know, like they were in the Corinthian church, they were doing a lot of things that were contrary to what God is, and they wasn't really honoring Christ like they should have been honoring Christ. And the same thing with some of us, that we pull things, are idolatry are always things that pull you away from Christ, that take the number one place in your life, in your life with Christ. And those are the things we got to be careful of, because we don't want nothing to take God his place. We say we put him first, but he wants to be he wants to be the one. That's what he wants.
I said he doesn't shack. We shack sometimes, but he doesn't shack.
Yeah, he don't shack. He wants to be the one. And so that's what we got to understand. That's his place. He wants to be the only one. He don't want to be, in line, like, oh, okay, you're going to put me back first, and then this is second, and this third. No, he wants to be the one. And so we got to understand that's what God wants, that kind of level of commitment from us, because he's committed to us like that. He is committed to us like that. And with all that's going on in the world, and you still got your health and your strength, you know he's committed to you. And for that, you ought to be thankful. We ought to be thankful that he has kept us. He kept our families. He's keeping us. And we got to be thankful, because so many people have lost loved ones. So many people have a different testimony and a different story. Just like I was saying just last week, 9 people lost their jobs in the department that I'm currently working in. They lost their job. Been there 15 years, 12 years, all those years, and now you got to figure out something different to do, or you got a different place. You don't have any place to go, and all those things. And all of that is grieving to people. Some people really grieve those kind of things because they don't know. And so there's a lot of things going on, but we have to be thankful that for our relationship with God. And we ought to protect that more than we protect a lot of things. Our relationship with God is so important. It is so important, because when we have that relationship with him, we can cry out in the middle of the night and ask God to protect us. We can cry out in the middle of the day and say, Lord, I really don't know what's going to happen, but, Lord, I know you know, and since I know you know, I'm grateful. I'm thankful. I'm trusting in you. I'm depending on you. So when we commit to God, we have that safe place with him as well. And so those are all things I want to say today. Anybody else, what's happening? Anybody else got anything they want to say? Elder Dawson, could you do our call to Christ, please?
I sure will. I want to say this. God is faithful. We have to believe that we still have our badges. I'm still standing.
Yes.
You know, after all that you've been through, the dust has scattered. You're still standing. God is faithful. Hallelujah.
Glory.
And he remains faithful. He's faithful to his word. He's faithful to you. And he is faithful to what he is saying and what he has said. If you are on the line and you want to be more committed to the Lord, pray this prayer with me. Father, I want to repent. I know that Jesus died for me, and you, Father, raised him from the dead. And I thank you because he died for me.
Yes.
And I ask you to welcome me into the household of faith. Welcome me into being like you. Whatever I have to do, God, I will be committed to you. If you prayed this prayer with me, we believe that you are saved, and you should get to a Bible-believing church and one that will be teaching the Word of God so you can stay committed and stay consistent to being committed to the Word of God. Amen. Amen.
Amen. And so we thank God for all of those that just accepted the Lord into their life. Welcome to the family. We thank God for each and every one of you. And Elder Timberlake, could you do our prayer, our closing prayer, and then we'll see you back here next week on the Prophets and Souls broadcast.
Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to give you honor and to give you praise. We pray that every heart has heard and have been able to receive. We pray that those that have given out, that you restore back to them, oh God, all that they've given out, restore their virtue and their strength. God, we pray for peace. We pray for tranquility. We pray for our country. We pray for right decisions. We pray that every need be met on this week, God. We pray that you intercede in whatever situations your people are facing today, on tomorrow, on this week, that you be with them, you undergird them, you strengthen them, and you help them. And until we meet again, God, be with us. Keep us and help us keep a mind stayed on you and be committed to what you've called us to do and to be in these last and even days. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. And I do want to remind everybody on the fourth Saturday, which is August 29th, we will be having our hour of prayer, and the men are going to be praying. Elder Dawson's going to be the host. I got Minister Noah Cunningham. He's going to be on the line praying and giving his testimony, and then I got some others that we're working on trying to get confirmation for them to come on and pray. So we're going to have us a good old time with them men praying, so I want y'all to come and be a part. It's going to be awesome. I ain't going to be running my mouth saying nothing. Elder Dawson's taking it over, and I'm so thankful for that. Anyway, God bless each and every one of you, and we'll see you back here next week on the Prospering Souls broadcast. Thank you for all those that logged in, called in, and those that will listen later. God bless each and every one of you. Bye-bye.
To God be the glory for the things that he has done.
Yes. Oh, hard.